Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So let's see. Joe Paterno gets fired for allegedly covering up child rape and Penn State students riot to support him. Herman Cain gets accused of sexual harassment by four women, and the crowd at the debate boos the journalists who ask him about it. Now, these two stories are in the news separately today, of course, but do you notice the similarity? And by the way, there's a good post on the Mediaite website by Tommy Christopher that says, "Dear Media, Penn State is not a sex scandal, it's a rape scandal." But these two stories are obviously separate. But do you notice the similarity? Here is a moment last night where Joe Paterno talks to the crowd that formed near his house. They didn't come to lynch him for sweeping rape allegations under the rug, allegedly, but to cheer him. The first voice here is Paterno saying, "We are Penn State.
We are Penn State.
Joe said, "Thank you." They said, "You're welcome. We love you, Joe." Joe Paterno and friends last night. And I guess the difference between Oakland and Penn State is that in Oakland, they riot to oppose inequality. At Penn State, they riot to oppose enforcement of rape laws. I'm not sure. But now I want to play the entire exchange between two CNBC moderators, Herman Cain and Mitt Romney, from the debate last night regarding the allegations against Cain. The shorter sound bites of the candidates have been all over the news. You probably heard those this morning. But the longer clip, and this is 2.5 minutes, with the context is revealing. So here we go. The questioners in this exchange are CNBC's Maria Bartiromo and John Harwood. This begins with Maria to Cain.
"Mr. Cain, the American people want jobs, but they also want leadership. They want character in a president. In recent days, we have learned that four different women have accused you of inappropriate behavior. Here, we're focusing on character and on judgment. You've been a CEO.
Yes.
You know that shareholders are reluctant to hire a CEO where there are character issues. Why should the American people hire a president if they feel there are character issues?
The American people deserve better than someone being tried in the court of public opinion based on unfounded accusations. That's what that's about. And I value my character and my integrity more than anything else. And for every one person that comes forward with a false accusation, there are thousands who would say none of that sort of activity ever came from Herman Cain. You're right. This country's looking for leadership. And this is why a lot of people, despite what has happened over the last 9 days, are still very enthusiastic behind my candidacy. Over the last nine days, the voters have voted with their dollars, and they'll say they don't care about the character assassination. They care about leadership and getting this economy growing and all of the other problems we face."
"Governor Romney, when you were at Bain Capital, you purchased a lot of companies. You could fire the CEO and the management team, or you could keep them. Would you keep a CEO? Are you persuaded by what Mr. Cain has said? Would you keep him on if you had bought his company?"
I'm... Look, Herman Cain is the person to respond to these questions. He just did. The people in this room and across the country can make their own assessment. I'm not going to...
"Governor Huntsman, let me switch back to the economy.
So the audience shoots the messenger at the CNBC debate. And we should say that the crowd at the debate doesn't necessarily represent all Republicans or all Republican women or all Americans. The crowd supporting Joe Paterno, even getting violent in a few instances in support of Joe Paterno, doesn't necessarily represent all Penn State students or alum. But this was a debate framed officially around economic issues on CNBC, the business network. So Lisa Lehrer from Bloomberg News joins me now to discuss it. And hi, Lisa. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Judging from the people at Penn State and at the debate, these alleged sexual harassers and alleged rape cover-uppers sure are crowd-pleasers.
Yeah, well, it has been kind of a bit surprising, I think, for some people to see how well Kane has weathered these charges of sexual harassment. His campaign says he's raising more money than he was before. He's raising money hand over fist, and his polling numbers really haven't taken too much of a hit so far. Of course, often polling is a lagging indicator, so it takes a while for this news to sort of filter down to people, you know, who aren't covering it as intensely as I am or you are. So we have to sort of wait and see. I'm interested to see the next round of polls, how his numbers look.
Maybe if Kane announces Paterno as his running mate, he'll run away with it.
Right. Maybe. He's certainly using the scandal, the controversy, to raise money. He has a whole bunch of fundraisers scheduled in the next couple of days, including one tomorrow in New York at the Russian Tea Room.
Yep.
But I think at the debate last night, what was interesting beyond the sexual harassment charges, which came up as you played the clip very briefly, was that I thought Kane was sort of a non-presence in the debate, other than when the scandal came up, he really didn't sort of command the room very much as he had in previous debates. And, you know, that could be an even bigger concern for him in terms of his staying power and him being able to take out Mitt Romney, who really is the front runner right now in this race.
So, listeners, for this segment, Lisa and I will talk about the debate. I wonder if any of you Penn State alum, and we got a bunch of Penn State alum calling in yesterday, want to weigh in on Paterno. I heard one station speculating that alumni may pull money from the school, hurting their endowment, hurting their general operating, it'll become harder to recruit future students. And the speculation here was not so much because the child sexual abuse took place or went unreported, but because Paterno was fired before his final home game. So Penn State alum, if you want to weigh in on either side of this, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show on our Debate Number 9 recap page. And on Kane, Lisa, is it clear to you who was in the audience last night, loving up Herman Kane and hating on the questioners?
Well, typically at a debate like this, there is a high number of at a Republican debate, there's a high number of partisans. Those are the people who are interested, the people who can get tickets, party officials, contributors. So the audience does tend to be a little bit more slanted than sort of the general public.
Yeah, certainly for the party.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they would be cheering on this issue and jeering the media. How many of those cheering were women? Do you have any idea?
No, I really don't have an idea on that. But, we have seen a circling of the wagons, certainly among conservative pundits who are, you know, who one thing that they're doing that encouraged by the Kane campaign, which has done this as well.
But let me jump in because
the women.
Yeah. But I thought the conservative pundits are split.
Like
I heard Linda DeVos, is that her name, who was a campaign strategist for Bush, weighing in the other day saying Kane should drop out.
Well, I think there's a split between Republican leadership, like Haley Barbour, for example, who is obviously a huge force in the party. He has said several times that Kane needs to give more information about these accusations rather than just saying, I didn't do it. Be a little more forthcoming what happened, and that's the only way to put this to bed. But I think sort of in terms of the Tea Party types, the sort of punditry, a lot of them have really gone after the women.
So Kane ducks a question about his character and gets cheered. Rick Perry forgets one word, and the pundits say his campaign is over. So for anybody who missed it, here is that painful 53 seconds from last night's debate. Spoiler alert, the missing word is energy.
And I will tell you, it's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the what's the third one there? Let's see.
Five.
No, okay. So five. Commerce, education, and
EPA?
EPA. There you go. No, again.
Let's talk deposition.
Seriously? Is EPA the one you were talking about? Or?
No, sir. We were talking about the agencies of government. EPA needs to be rebuilt.
But you can't name the third one?
The third agency of government. Yeah. I would do away with the education, commerce, and let's see. I can't. The third one, I can't. Sorry. Oops.
The governor of an oil state forgetting that he wants to abolish the Energy Department. Lisa Lehrer, no relation, from Bloomberg News. I don't know. Is that a big deal? Everyone is making it out to be a deal breaker.
Well, listen, we've all, you know, had our moments like that. I bet even you, Brian, have had a moment like that, maybe not in a presidential debate. But the reason this is...
500 of those moments.
Right. But the reason this is so damaging to Perry is because it reinforces the narrative that's out there already about him, which is that he's a bad debater and he's not ready for prime time. He's not ready for the office and he couldn't go up against President Obama, which is what Republicans really want most of all, right? So this moment, the stakes were higher for him in these debates because, you know, he has this rep of being a bad debater. So the fact that he made this gaffe is extremely, extremely, extremely damaging for him, and it's going to be tough for him to recover.
By the way, what does the Energy Department do that he wants to abolish it?
Well, you know, he doesn't like the regulations, that's for sure. But, you know, it's something that he says quite frequently on the campaign trail. I mean, this is a line that he uses all the time. This isn't something that he was unveiling that's new or a new plan that he was bringing out for this debate, which makes it even more cringeworthy, frankly.
Ed in Bridgeport, you're on WNYC. You're an alum of Penn State?
Yeah, I am, actually.
What do you think?
I think that, you know, what's outrageous about the whole thing is that, you know, the media in particular, some of these journalists, so-called journalists, you know, they're really not journalists. They're more or less in the entertainment business. That's what the media and all of this stuff is now. It's just entertainment. And to some extent, you know, I'm really surprised that the lack of or the inability of people to connect the dots. I mean, there's a transcript from the grand jury stuff that's out there for people to read. And the bottom line is, you know, if you were thrust in that same position, there were janitors, there was this gentleman who saw this kid actually getting molested, you know, they could have gone to the police just as well. You know, Paterno was receiving information, and he reported to his boss. He didn't see it. I've listened this morning to all this stuff, and it appears as though now it's morphed into this thing where he actually saw it.
And there is and that, of course, didn't happen. But there is even a question about Mike McQuarrie, who I gather is going to be on the field as the coach.
Absolutely.
This coming weekend, replacing Paterno, who was the one who saw it.
Right.
And reported it up the chain, did not report it to the police when nothing happened internally. So there's, you know, you could failed to do all that he should have done.
Of course he failed, but there were a number of people, even in that building on that particular occasion, that should have done more. But the point still remains that in reporting it up the chain of command, you know, the person who was the vice president of whatever business and finance, you know, he was responsible. He's over the campus police. You know, this State College and University of Park are two different zones. So the people who represented the campus police were informed.
So you think too much blame is landing on Paterno? Is that your point?
Absolutely. I think it's ridiculous that you would morph this thing. I mean, the university is trying to manage damage control. So they're trying to throw everything at the problem. But, you know, they're offending the alumni. They're offending the students. And at the end of the day, the board needs to step down.
How would you feel? How do you think you would feel if you had a 10-year-old son who is the victim?
That's not the issue. The issue is that everybody acknowledges that it's an awful thing that happened. But Paterno is not the one who molested this child.
Ed, thank you very much. Erica in Fairfield, another alum of Penn State. Hi, Erica.
Hi. Yeah, I graduated in 1990, and I have to say I'm heartbroken that Joe Paterno didn't do more. We completely revered the man for having this old-school style of integrity. And, you know, I would compare this scandal not so much to others in politics, but to what's happened in the Catholic Church. I think they have more similarities there.
Right.
Joe Paterno is a father.
Would you have been cheering, chanting, "We are Penn State," outside his house last night?
Absolutely not. I'm heartbroken that more wasn't done. You know, Joe Paterno himself admitted he should have done more.
Right. But your fellow alums' reaction I shouldn't say fellow alums, they're really current students out there last night. What did you think about the scene?
It's upsetting to me. It's upsetting. It's very misguided. But I have to be honest, it looks like the easier side to take right now, particularly on that campus where football reigns supreme.
Thank you very much for your call. And listeners, you can keep posting if you're more in the Ed in Bridgeport camp or the Erica in Fairfield camp on reactions to Joe Paterno at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Lisa Lehrer from Bloomberg News with us reviewing the debate last night. I want to play two more clips real quick. One is Newt Gingrich, who appears to be on the rise right now. He got a solid 18% in an Iowa poll this week, second only to Kane, who got 22. And if Kane and Perry go down, as seems very possible, Gingrich could well wind up as the last not Romney standing. And I thought in that context, Gingrich had a strong debate last night. Here is a minute 16 sample.
Well, first of all, I think Ben Bernanke is a large part of the problem and ought to be fired as rapidly as possible. The Federal Reserve ought to be audited, and we should have all the decision documents for 2008, 9, and 10 so we can understand who he bailed out, why he bailed them out, who he did not bail out, and why he did not bail them out. So I'm glad that Ben Bernanke recognizes some of the wreckage his policies have led to. The reason we follow, I think most of us, are for tax policies that lead to jobs is because we've had two cycles in my lifetime, Ronald Reagan and the Contract with America, both of which had the same policy: lower taxes, less regulation, more American energy, and have faith in the American job creator as distinct from a Saul Alinsky radicalism of higher taxes, bigger bureaucracy with more regulations, no American energy, as the president announced again today in his decision on offshore, and finally, class warfare. So I would say that all of us on this stage represent a dramatically greater likelihood of getting to a paycheck and leaving behind food stamps than does Barack Obama.
Congressman Bachman, same question
to you. Newt Gingrich last night from the debate on CNBC. Lisa Lehrer from Bloomberg News. How are the reviews on Gingrich?
Well, he did do very well in this debate, and there has been a lot of buzz of him being the next not Romney, as you put it, to rise. But I think he's going to face his own, if that were to happen, he'd face his own spate of problems. He hasn't really been vetted in the media the same way. I mean, he has in the past, of course. He's been on the national stage a long time, but not this campaign in the way that some of these other candidates have been. One thing that came up in the debate last night was his work lobbying on behalf of Freddie Mac, which is, of course, the mortgage giant, and that's really very disliked by conservatives. And that's really only one charge that could come up. There's his multiple marriages, his sort of personal issues that social conservatives wouldn't like. So there's a lot of things that could come out about him that might turn off some Republican primary voters.
And just one quickie of Mitt Romney, because it says a lot about how he is positioning himself.
I think people understand that I'm a man of steadiness and constancy. I don't think you're going to find somebody who has more of those attributes than I do. I've been married to the same woman for 42 years. I've been in the same church my entire life. I worked at one company, Bain, for 25 years, and I left that to go off and help save the Olympic Games.
He was married to one woman for 25 before he abolished the energy department. But seriously, that's that man of constancy, because he's been accused of so many flip-flops on the issue. That's his central positioning statement now, isn't it?
That's exactly right. I thought that was an extremely interesting moment, although Perry's, you know, dominating the conversation this morning. I thought that was actually one of the most interesting moments in the debate, because that's, you know, the major charge that's levied against Romney time and time again. And if he becomes the Republican nominee, which I think he's positioned to do right now, that's the message that we're going to be hearing, particularly when it comes up, when the Democrats bring up his changes in position and things like that. I think that's how he's going to market himself.
Bloomberg News, political reporter Lisa Lara. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lara and WNYC, no relation. Coming up next, two views. Should you care about the Super Committee? Stay with us.